State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
The school of Tupac, I'm a rival. You don't want to what?
Mess with me.
Tell I'm not your average Negro.
Hold up. Taz, I want to ask you a question real quick.
Let's just keep it real, straight shot with no chaser. I'm going to get a little bit rough.
Man, we don't stand for him. Who we?
I'm here for those who really believe in the American process. All of us.
Straight shot, no chaser. With your girl, Tesla Figaro, on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
What's happening, straight shooters? This is your girl, Tesla Figaro, for another episode of Straight Shot, No Chaser. Today, I have the homie sitting here with me, my son, the general, straight out of New York. Also, the co-founder of Until Freedom, also the founder of Kings Killing Kings, aka Outside, always doing the work from protesting to politicking to various things in the community. Takes a lot of heat online, and we're going to talk about that today. Also, the co-host of Street Politicians that is right here available on the Black Effect Podcast Network with our sister Tamika Mallory. So what's happening, my son? I know you busy outside. You came inside to sit down for a second to chop it up with your girl.
Yes, man. You know, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Tez. You know, I wouldn't be nowhere else, you know, but on this podcast. I'm glad that I got the invite to finally get here and kick it with you, man. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you. It's so busy. Sometimes it's hard to connect, but we are connected. And I want to get straight to it. You know, I know you do a lot of interviews about the movement, about the work that you guys are doing. And I encourage people to go, you know, check out the podcast, Street Politicians, to look at, you know, what it is you're doing. But I don't know if you really get a chance to kind of get into the things that I want to talk about with you today. I do see you, you know, tapping in on Clubhouse. You've had some lives where you address this. You've also, you know, had some many conversations, like I said, on your live that you host, that you address this. But I really wanted to get it, at least in the podcast space, on the issues that concern you, why you have, they like to call it an online beef, and you keep correcting them over and over that it's not an online beef. It is where you stand, you know, as a man in your position, and how you navigate the advocacy world with the hip hop world. So I really just want to ask you a couple of questions and you to explain. Matter of fact, we had just got off live and I said one of the first things I want to ask you is, why is it that trolls almost seem obsessed with you? I mean, they follow every time you go live. You have a flood, a ton of comments. What is it that you're doing that you believe is bringing so much attention to you as a person, as a movement, as a hip hop? You're one of the greatest MCs, period. Let's first, I forgot to say that at the beginning. One of the greatest freestyle battlers ever. So what do you think it is? Is it because they don't understand how you navigate both sides of the track? Or what do you think it is?
I think that they understand, right? I think what it is that I represent threatens what it is that they represent, right? I don't give you room to be a coward, right? It's like a lot of these dudes, they want to change the rules because they can't play the game the way it's supposed to be played. So they want to say, it's like playing basketball. And you know, you can't pick up the ball and run with the ball because that's called walking. A lot of these dudes don't know how to dribble, so they walk. So they want to say, I don't want that in the rules. I want to take walk out the game. I want to be able to run with the ball because you can't play the game efficiently with the rules that is set. So I don't allow them to do that. You understand what I'm saying? I know the rules of the game. I've been in the streets. I've been on all aspects of the streets, and I understand what it entails. And that's what my background is. I come from the streets. You know, activism is a calling on my life that I utilize my background. I utilize my wisdom, my experiences, and my skill sets and everything to do activism. But I'm from the Bronx. I'm from Highbury. So, you know, I've lived a certain life and I understand what that life entails. So I speak to that because I understand that there is a correlation between that in activism, because there's a correlation between manhood and activism, right? Whoever you show up as a man, however you show up as a man, is who you're going to be in every aspect of your life. So I don't want to do activism. I don't want to do regular work. I don't want to do I don't want to do nothing with a man who lacks integrity. Mm-hmm. So what happens is we have a generation and a lot of people who want to make excuses for lack of integrity. And I don't allow them to do that. I'm never going to allow you to do that, especially when you say that you represent something else, right? When you say that this is what I represent, you talk about this all day, you talk about the street life, you talk about all this. Okay, even though I'm not in the street life and it's not about criminality, for me, it's about integrity. Mm-hmm. So when you start to try to make sense of things that lack integrity so people can give you a pass for lacking integrity, I'm going to always be on your ass every time you do it. So a lot of people don't like that because there's a lot of weak people. So when you talk about snitching is an integrity thing for me. It's not about criminality. It's me being able to deal with the consequences of my own actions. And a lot of these dudes are so weak, they can't deal with the consequences of their own actions. So they want to tell on you so you can deal with the consequences of yours so they can escape theirs. There's nothing stand up about that. There's nothing just being a citizen about that, or, you know, whatever they try to tell you, you are. No, that it's called being weak. And I'm going to call it being weak every time. So there's a lot of people who have that mentality. Like, you know what? I don't want to deal with consequences. I'm too scared. I can't take the consequences of these actions. I like, you know, the glorification. I love being celebrated. I like all of the things that come with this, but I don't want the consequences.
Right.
You know, and I don't allow people to do that. So that makes people uncomfortable because I stand on that square all the time and I never move off that. And I never change my perspective.
And it's like, no matter how many times you keep explaining that it's not about criminality, it's about, you know, I was the only child and a lot of people think that only children get away with a lot. And that was not the case with my mom. I had to accept responsibility for everything that I did. I couldn't say, oh, well, the teacher did it. I didn't have, well, my brother made me do it or my sister made me do it, whatever. Like they say, whatever you get your ass into, you got to get your ass out of. And there was nobody else to point the finger. And it's like, no matter how many times you keep explaining this, that you're not saying, oh, snitching is about, you know, saying that you endorse the behavior or condone the behavior. No, what you're saying is that if you make a decision, then there is a consequence that comes with that decision. Period. End of discussion. And instead of trying to lessen your consequence by bringing somebody else in it, you stand on yours. And it's like, no matter how many times you explain it over and over and over, either they're slow or dumb or intentionally just trying to, you know, keep the message all fucked up where they're not understanding, you know, what it is that you're saying. I talked about, you know, consequences of consciousness. There's even consequences with what we do. You know, people think this shit is a game. There's consequences with this, like being on white supremacist target list, like people actually knowing where we live and where we are. And you guys are outside, literally. So people can pull up on you, do whatever to you. Like there are consequences with calling out Joe Biden. Well, people don't understand. Y'all want to talk about these gangs, which that's the background that I come from. But let me tell you about the real gang called the U.S. government. There is no gang that is more resourceful, more technologically advanced, has more money, has more manpower, the United States government. And we go against the government. So if people don't understand, this is not about this gang or that gang. It is about understanding that when you stand on something, there's consequences. There are things that could happen to us by fighting the police. I was living next door to Officer Housecloth, literally next door when I fought that case, the one that raped the 13 black women in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Every time I pulled out my driveway, police officer was behind me. Got pulled over several times. I was driving a Benz with Florida tags in Oklahoma City because I just moved from Florida. So that was their excuse to pull me over all the time. Who's to say I couldn't be Sandra Bland? I don't think they understand even the consciousness or the consequences that come with this. Hopefully nothing will ever happen to us. And a lot of times people got to see something happen and say, oh, wow, that shit is real. But the same fearlessness that you have in you to speak up against the government is the same fearlessness that you have to speak up against the bullshit in our community. And when we first met, because we just talked like in passing, and I was talking about, I can't remember who you were going back and forth with about this, but it was really good. It was one of kind of like the very beginning of the back and forth. I forgot the guy locked up. Yeah, Akon. Yeah. I was watching that and we talked, it was all about civilian and I was talking to you. We just had a brief conversation and I was like, even the women, like the girlfriends or people that are even connected to somebody connected to the life. And we just talked briefly and you were saying, you know, well, I don't know if you were saying I'm pacifying, you can paraphrasing, you can correct me. But I was talking to you about how even she has a role. Like when I was at Baller's Man and that gang, Baller's girlfriend and that gangbanger's girlfriend, like there was a role in that and a consequence that came with that. And I remember you said, you know, but we don't put our women, you know, out there to have to deal with that. And I was saying, but sometimes it's not about putting us out there. It is about realizing that you are out there. Most of women who are in prison is because of their boyfriend, their husband, or some type of way of being involved. So what are your thoughts on that? People who are affiliated, who sympathize, who surround themselves with criminality, do you see them as, you know, making a conscious decision to be a part of that life and also standing 10 toes down on that consequence? Or do you see them not really a part of the life and kind of getting a pass, what they call citizen pass?
Well, I think it depends. I think for me, you know, just in my personal opinion, I will never hold a woman who is influenced by a man who is, even if she's, you know, even if she's conscious, who has her man's back, I would never hold her to the same standard of holding down certain situations that I hold that man to. That's just me. Certain people don't agree with that. You know, I don't, if I'm dealing with a woman, I personally wouldn't involve her in anything that can get her to go to jail. You know, if I got a woman or wife and we got kids, I'm never going to ask you to do 10, 15 years while you got my kids out in the street. I'm a hold all. I don't have any expectation of you to be away from these kids. I just don't have that. There's a lot of people who see it differently. You know, other aspects of life, when somebody is benefiting off of it, I think for me, you know, when you're the main principal, especially in street activity and things of that, you have to be very much more conscious than the average person, because the average person that's around you, especially if you know that that individual is not involved in the streets per se, but you're involving them to where you're putting them in the position, like you go, your friend, your brother works every day and you coming home and you stash your money in his house. So he's going to take a little bit of money. You, his brother, he want to help you. A lot of times he don't really see the consequences.
But I would just say though, just from a woman's standpoint, I appreciate, because you talk a lot about manhood, as you should, because you're a man. You know, I tell people all the time, I talk about a woman's perspective because I'm a woman. You know, I can't speak on men.
That's right.
But I would just say, as a woman, I was responsible for the things that I did. I was very conscious. There was no, you know, like when you're saying, I would never put you in that position. It's not really about you ever putting in a position. They're in the position. So just because you may be making safe moves, you may be thinking nobody know where you lay your head. You may be thinking you're not jeopardizing that woman. She's still very well aware. She's spending that money. She's enjoying that lifestyle. She's whatever it is a part of. She's very well aware. Now, what I will say, though, about most men that I encounter, no, they didn't put their baby mama, their wife in that situation, but they still had a girl around the way. You know, they may go put work at too. You know, or she may do various things. In fact, we did a whole conversation about it with my homeboy, like different women that do different things. So he may protect his wife or his baby mama who he lives with, but that don't mean it's not a woman around the corner that's going to hold that work and be able to benefit from that money and get her rent paid and so forth. So I hear what you're saying, but I just think that it's also important that women see the role that they play. I know women that's been killed behind this shit. I know women that, you know, just being involved, just being around, you know, that have had to suffer consequences. Me, shit, I'm one that have had to suffer consequences from that lifestyle. And I can't say that I was clueless. I wasn't. I made a choice. Now, whether I was influenced, you know, because I was young or vulnerable, that's the same thing as the men who were influenced when they were young and vulnerable and wanted money, the same reasons. But I don't, for me personally, I don't see women getting a pass, and neither do the government, because they go to the pen. So
they do. You're 100% right. And but the thing is, it's just my personal thing. You know, I personally will never intentionally put a woman in a situation to where she had to face the same consequences that I had to face. And if that happened, I would probably, if I intentionally or knew that they had to deal with it, I would take all the blame. That's just who I am. Some men move differently. A lot, and there's nothing wrong. You're right. They have to be held accountable because the state is going to hold them accountable, you know, and they're going to have to deal with those consequences. I just think for me, just me personally, I don't have the same expectations. Not about your accountability. I just don't have the same expectations. I automatically believe that 9 out of 10 women who have never aren't really in the street life, like ain't really involved in the streets, that when you give them a ultimatum to where they're going to give you information or they're going to lose their kids, that they're going to always choose their kids. Mm-hmm. I just, mm-hmm. I'm 100%. I mean, I'm 90% sure that that's going to usually be the choice that they make. So I personally wouldn't put them in that situation. The same way I wouldn't take a square who I know is not involved and involve them in the lifestyle that tells me that I'm not really involved in this, but they're going to take that money when you give it to them, average person is, just because they have a little belief in you or they want the money.
I mean, they go to the square because the square is the one that got the clean apartment, got the clean job, got the clean. So, I mean, the square like has a role. But the square, the square is well aware.
You can't wait to roll.
I'm not talking about if they should or should not roll, because they're going to roll. I'm just saying, do you hold them to the same? I'm just saying, I don't believe they're blind.
It's this for me. Like if you look in the situations where I hold people accountable, it's the people who advocate and present an image as if they're this super gangster. Mm-hmm. I hold you because I don't know who you are until you tell me who you are. So if I speak to you and you're like, yo, I'm holding it down. It's Pyru this, it's gangster this, I'm a blood. I know the rules. I've been putting in work. I've been locked up in here, this and that. And that's your whole claim to fame. And then when it comes time to deal with this thing, you move completely disaccorded to that. You're the person I'm focusing on. Mm-hmm. Because I need you to understand that we know you're not who you say you is. Yeah. Especially after you do that, you try to come back and still try to convince us that you still that person. No, you don't get to do that on my watch.
And you don't think that that's condoning. Let's just go ahead and say you're talking about whack. So you don't think he's one example, one of many. Yeah. You don't think that by saying no, you're not acting like you say a blood according to what he say. You know, if he say if all bloods eat apples, you know, I'm just throwing something. If all bloods eat apples and we see you eating pears, you said all bloods eat apples and you're not holding yourself accountable according to that. And it's not that you're saying you should eat apples or eating apples is the right thing. You're just pointing out that he's not doing what he says he did. Right.
That's it. Like, you just got to be who you say you is. I'm a firm believer that everything ain't for everybody. Everybody's not tough. I got friends that I hang with every day that I know if we get into a fight, they're going to run. I know if I do something, they're going to tell. But I'm 100% aware that's who they are. They've never been anything else. They never try to present themselves to me as anything else. I'm 100% clear that's who they are. Then I got friends that they tell you all the time, yo, when it comes down, call me, I'm going to do this and that. I have a different expectation of those friends, mm-hmm. because you've been selling me this is who you are. So when that situation, arrives and it's time for us to be who you said you was, you got to be that person. And the minute you're not, I gotta let you know that you're not that person, especially when you still, even after that situation, you still trying to tell me you're that person. I'm like, bro, I was there with you. That's not who you are. Right. You showed me that's not who you are. You can't present that no more. Now, if you realize at that moment, you know what? I thought I was somebody else, but I'm not really that person. And you say that, I can respect that as a man. You go, you square up, you get out the streets. I don't have to talk to you no more because you have acknowledged that you're not that type of person. But when you when you falter in those situations that you said that you was going to be this person, and then you come back and still try to give this persona that you that person you said you was, you can't do that on my watch.
Okay. Now, I am going to get to that since we mentioned his name. We might as well get into it, but I just want to close, put a bow on the topic a little bit before that. We stand in disagreement that I believe that if you are a square and you are a female and you dating a baller and you taking his money and you know he's selling dope and you all about spending the money and all about holding the work, then I do believe you are just as involved, you know, at whether you're selling it or not, you are an accomplice. That's the bottom line. You know, you're a part of it. Now, whether they flip or not, that's a whole nother conversation. Will they? Probably yes. That's not my point. Well, my point is that people don't run criminal organizations by themselves. And so if you are part of that, there is no all of a sudden I'm so confused. You know, once the shit go down, it's, oh, I don't know. I'm not a part of that. No, you're a part of criminality. Bottom line, the moment you decide to take that money, to date that man, to do whatever, that's just speaking from a woman's standpoint, from me. You know, just me. When I gave my apartment to my homie, I went and moved away. When I came back, crack was in the microwave. I know what he do. So where is the confusion at? Now, whether I flipped or if he got caught, that's a whole nother thing. But there is some integrity that I believe that should be on that end when you actively participate in any type of criminal activity. You should understand what you're doing.
But that's what I'm trying to say, Tez, right? If you're telling me every day that you're not this person, right? If you saying every day, I'm not in the streets. Like, I'm not in the streets. And I come to you with money and be like, yo, listen, I need you to hold this down.
But see, that's in the streets, though. See, that's the moment you are in the streets.
Listen to what I'm saying. And that makes 100% sense. I'm not condoning it. I'm saying that as a person with discernment and intellect, especially if you have to look and say, I'm 100% sure.
Oh,
this
yeah.
man ain't even acting. This man ain't even acting like he's.
Yeah.
It ain't a street. It ain't even a level of integrity bone in this man's body. He's already told you, yo, if I get caught, I'm telling.
Well, I don't know nobody who said that.
But that's what they do.
But let's take
dudes that say that all the time.
Well, let's take that part of the equation. Let's just act like just female and male. Let's just take that out of the equation. Let's do the female is holding the work. I'm gonna speak on that part. I didn't say I'm going to tell if I get caught, because what nigga going to give me to work if I'm going to say that? Nobody's going to do that. So no woman is saying,
tell you,
but you can say.
That should be a real conversation, though.
I've had that conversation, though. What I'm trying to tell you, the conversation doesn't matter. Once you get caught up, that's a whole nother. Niggas say they're going to do shit all the time, what they ain't going to do. The conversation don't matter.
It does, though, Tez, because in the conversation, you've already established to me, like, yo, I'm going to hold it, but. Yo,
we don't say that though. What I'm trying to tell you, we don't say that.
No, but I'm saying, so what I'm trying to tell you is the bottom line is most of them do. It's a lot.
Let's pretend like they don't. I just want to do the scenario on where they depend. Pretend like they don't. Let's pretend like they don't. Let's just say.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is this: if you personally have a relationship with somebody, and they, like I said, they made you believe that they was about that life.
No, I'm not going to say made you believe it. I'm just saying, let's just pretend you and I are dating. I'm not making you believe I'm from the streets. I'm not saying I'm from the streets. Right. And you were dumb enough or whatever, because that's what it comes down to.
I can't blame you.
Right. But then me, from the woman's standpoint, not about blaming me. I'm talking about from the woman's standpoint. You know how you like to talk to men and tell them.
Who's going to really hold you accountable? Right. Because just think about this.
The law?
I have this conversation with people all the time, and they talk about this person snitch and this person snitch. And I'm like, when you snitch, right, and you leave the streets and you go into these boardrooms and you sit across from boardrooms, everybody that's in that room with you would have did the same exact thing you did, right?
Right.
Your life no longer depends on the streets' representation or prediction or, you know, how perception of who you are. Your livelihood, nothing is attached.
Right. But I think we're talking about two different things. You're talking about what behavior they would do. I'm not talking about what they're most likely to do. The main point that I'm trying to stress is once you involve yourself in any street activity, it doesn't matter if you say, I'm from the streets, I'm about this life, I'm street, not street, 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 street. I'm just using a simple analogy. If you go to the store and you steal something, you don't have to say, I'm a thief, I steal, I sell clothes, I'm a this and that, I'm about that life. come get with me. I'm always be a booster, whatever. The moment you decide to put those clothes in your purse or your pocket, you are now a shoplifter. You are in, quote unquote, there are different, see, that's how I see it. There's different levels to the street involvement. But you are in high school. You might be a freshman. You might be a sophomore, junior, senior, but you are in high school. And I'm just saying, that's me speaking to women, because I want to make sure, even though I don't spend the amount of time you do with trying to change the culture, but for me, from a woman standpoint who have been in that situation, it's important to me that women understand the consequences that they sign up for. Now, whether they tell or don't tell, whether they're likely to tell, sure. The point is, when you engage in that activity, mama, you are part of the street. You may not be shooting niggas, doing this, that, but you are a part of the criminal organization called the streets. And the government looks at you as the streets, whether you're a cornball or not. That's all I'm saying.
But the only difference is, says, I want to be clear in my perspective, is you're not... You're not saying anything wrong. You're 100% right, right? I think for me, what it is the level of accountability, right? So if your man is a kingpin, mm-hmm. and you holding the work in his house, mm-hmm. yeah, the feds know once they come to you and say, yo, tell us what's going on or you going to jail, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And once you don't give a fuck about the street credibility because you're not in the streets. You're not going to be judged by the streets because you never was really in the streets. Your only streets was this nigga that you was holding this work for. The accountability that you have to yourself in anything, it don't matter what I think of you. It don't matter what the street niggas think of you. Because when you
call somebody... Not really true, but go ahead.
But when you call somebody a snitch that don't give a fuck, that never had abided by anything in the streets, that never gained... That never had no popularity in the streets, that's not trying to come back to the streets after they get out of jail and live off the fame and get money and all of that shit, it don't matter. Once that person who never really was in the streets had no real affiliation other than with the work that he did with you or she did with you, tells on you, she's going into a witness program, she's going out of state, she's going to go back to that same regular job.
See, I disagree with that. I guess we've seen different... But I disagree with that.
You don't think they're going to do that?
I'm telling you that I know. Well, first of all, the hustler, and again, I'm talking specifically about like the hustler's girlfriend, the baller's girlfriend, the one that's selling the dope. Those type of women, which wasn't me back in my day, I'm not speaking from, just telling you, they date the same type of men over and over. They don't just go from one, either she stay down with the guy or she goes on to the next. So I just wanted to correct that part to say nobody looking at you any kind of way. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. Not only do they look at you some type of way as somebody that will tell or won't hold it down. These women, this is just my experience. They know what they're signing up for. They know that there is a level of integrity that comes with being a baller's bride. I don't want to say, you know, because I want to be disrespectful, but being a baller's girl, there is some, it is different levels, like you say, but there is some level of holding it down. Shit, the whole Project Pat got a whole song, Take the Charge. Like, there's a level of responsibility that you know, okay, if he get caught, I'm going to come see him. I'm going to get commissary. I'm going to do this. I'm going to hold this down. I'm going to hold that down. I'm going to make sure this, that. There is a level of accountability that she has, whether she tells or don't, and if she is looked at sideways,
when you said that, that means, if you saying that they know that, that's a conversation. That's an understanding that you and that man have had. If that's what I'm trying to say.
And what I'm trying to say is when you never have the conversation, you know you fucking with a dope dealer. That's what I'm trying to say. But see, I can say that though, because I'm just saying.
I just don't agree with that. If you get in the car and I'm like, yo, and I jump in my man's car, he loved me enough, he's scared, and I got a gun in my waist, and he like, damn. And I know he a square nigga, but he gonna drive me wherever I tell him to go.
But see, square niggas don't. See, this is what I'm trying to say. Square niggas don't do that. They may not tell. That's why I want to take the tail. Because I want to take the tail part out.
But that's the whole thing.
No. It's not the whole issue.
They're not willing to deal with accountability.
I know that, but I don't want to talk about the tail part. I only want to talk about who is in the street and who not. I don't want to talk about the tail part. Because you keep connecting.
That's the only place that you find out when there's no consequences. When there's no consequences, no. Everybody's in the streets.
But we can get to that. We can get to the consequence. What I'm trying to say is people that feel that they're not in the street. The whole thing that I want to talk to you about that day was about who is a civilian and who is not. And when they talk about 6ix9ine, the moment, even though he playing, even though we know he ain't down, even though he whatever, he, shit, a lot of these rappers who they know ain't down, but they still claim to be blood, crip, whatever. What I'm trying to say is from the female standpoint, I'm not talking about if they tell or not, because it's weak people that was in the streets that tell. So we know that part. I'm saying that as a female, the square up and down, all the way square, my girlfriends, when I was in high school, cheerleading in high school, they was dating the basketball player, the football player, the squares. The square, the all the way squared up, were dating the all the way square. They wouldn't be with a nigga that got a gun. They wouldn't be with nobody that sell dope. They weren't attracted to that. It wasn't a lifestyle. I'm just saying from my perspective that they were around. If a woman is dating somebody that is in any type of criminal behavior, she is aware, no matter how dumb she want to say, oh, I didn't know, I did that. When I talk about it, she tell. What I'm saying is you are aware that you are fucking with a criminal and there are consequences that come to criminal, which like being in the car and getting your head blown off. But what about just being in the car and getting your head blown off?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful VC turbo engine. Well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The only thing we disagree is that consequences don't matter, right? If you're a square person and I'm hanging with my man, right? And my man said, listen, I know you're square. When we get pulled over, I'm just going to take
But why would you be with a square, though? That's what I'm trying. Why would the square be attracted to you?
All the time.
But what, so that's why he's not a square. That's all I'm saying. That's why he's not a square. He can't possibly be a whole square because squares don't want to be around criminals. That's all I'm saying.
Really true.
He don't have to be
you
hard.
You trying to say that squares don't have friends that's
no,
in the street?
No, what I'm trying to say is, if we in each other's proximity, where we're riding together, we're kicking in together, I'm not saying, let's be clear, I'm not saying they're not weak. I'm not saying they won't tell. I'm not saying they fight. I'm not saying they're G. Let's be clear. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, if something about their lifestyle is attractive enough to them to want to be around it, there is a tinge. Can we just agree? Just like 2% of them that want to be involved in the street. Because to me, straight up squares, like my sister, would never be around a man like that. She's going to follow the rules. She don't have even a little bit in her that says, I'm going to go against the norm. Criminals are antisocial. They go against not socializing. Antisocial, the true definition, is going against social norms. They don't follow the rules. So whether a square female or male is attracted to the risk of it all because they want to hang with my son because maybe it make them look harder and this and that. You're saying he's a square. What I'm saying, that if he is riding with you and the police pull him up, he is an accomplice. We know he's going to flip, but that's not my point. My point is, do you agree that once they're involved in any criminal activity, they are part of criminal activity? They may not be.
I never disagree with that. But only thing I'm trying to say is, listen, the only thing that separates a warrior, a shooter, or anything from just a regular person is consequences. The average person gets mad enough that if they could get away with shooting, the whole theory.
I don't understand that. Say that one more time.
That's what I'm saying. The whole theory of the purge, right? Right? Is where everyday citizens who would have done nothing else is lawless, right? They can go out, they can shoot, they can stab. These are regular citizens that have an urge in their mind to do some shit, but the only reason they didn't do it is because of consequences. Right? So that's the whole theory about it, right? What I'm trying to explain
to you. But it's plenty of people that do stuff not thinking they're going to get a consequence, but I do understand the theory of it all.
The whole theory. Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is a square, right? Now, a square understands if I get in a car with this person, that he knows I'm not a street person. Everything about me is not street.
But that's his ass, though. What about the person? And why is if he ain't street, why is he in the car with you?
But what I'm trying to tell you is, I just want to give you my point because I understand what you say. We can ask all these questions, right? But when it gets to the precinct, right? And the square is always saying to itself,
well, only if the police get involved and there's a consequence. You're saying, we're having two different conversations. And that's why I keep having this conversation with you, because I'm trying to get you to see my point. You're saying, oh, it only determines what's what if there's a consequence. And what I'm saying is there's sometimes a consequence that have nothing to do with the law. It's a consequence that you may have to suffer the rest of your life. And I've been in that position that you may not tell. They may not ever know. You may tell the police don't give a damn. If you put yourself in a certain situation and you knew, it's different if you didn't know. It's different if I get in a car with a nigga and I think he's a high school football player, just like I'm a high school cheerleader, and all of a sudden this nigga can't take out a gun. But if I am riding with you and I know you're a criminal and I know more than likely you're dirty and I know more than like there is some accountability. I'm not talking about if they flip. We know they're going to flip. Let's get that out the way. I'm not talking
about. So where's the accountability then?
I'm just talking to yourself of knowing, not being. My thing is not having this past. I'm just saying not having this gray area of thing, because this is what I fear. Just hear my point out. I know there's accountability with, okay, you don't expect them to do the time. We agree with that. More than likely they won't. We agree with that. But you're talking about integrity. And integrity is not necessarily connected. Let me just finish. It's not necessarily connected to if the laws are involved. Integrity is in yourself to know, okay, what could I have done to not get myself in this particular situation? And so the part that I fear, or not really fear, but the message that I want out there just from my perspective is if we say, okay, I never expected you to have to deal with a consequence because you're a square, then that woman hears that and thinks she can make reckless decisions. That's all. Mm-hmm. Do you understand my point?
I understand.
Yeah, from a woman's standpoint, she has to still be, because they will, so I'm telling you, my son, they'll think, oh, well, if you get caught, we don't expect you to hold it down anyway. You know, whatever. So there's no consequence. And they make reckless decisions. And I can use that.
No, that's 100% true. Yeah, I get that.
When I was dating older guys, I knew I shouldn't have been talking to older guys. And when I jumped, my mama told me, don't do X, Y, Z. And I jumped in the car and I was in situations that I should not have been in. It doesn't mean that what they did was right. It doesn't mean that they shouldn't be held to a higher consequence. But to my mama, why was your ass in the car in the first place? She held me accountable for the decision that I made. And that's where the integrity to me comes in. There's a consequence with you besides just the law. The law is not just the consequence. It's niggas that kill all the time and never get the consequence. It don't mean they're not killers.
So the only thing I'm trying to say is you having that conversation with somebody who has integrity, right? So when you having that conversation with somebody that don't see integrity the way you see integrity, it don't matter what you think. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You holding them to a standard that you
have. But that's what you do. That's what I'm saying.
No,
but
No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm holding them to the standard that they said they had.
Okay, I got you.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't impose my integrity on you.
I got you.
If you run around and you saying I'm a gangster, you calling hits on niggas, you running around, you got niggas in beef, you shooting, you the big, you doing all of this shit. You said that that's who you
okay,
was.
Okay, got you. I think that's I the connect. Okay, that's what I was. Okay, we on the same thing.
What I'm trying to say is these the people, the square dude might not have your integrity. He might not even think integrity is what you think it is.
Correct.
So if you try to put that on him, he don't give a fuck because I never thought that was integrity anyway. I don't think it's no integrity in me sitting here taking a charge at you when I got in a gun when you know I got a job. You should have never been in the car with me. That's how he gonna perceive it. And you said, yo, you should have never been in the car with me because you know I had this. So you talking two different languages, somebody that don't give a fuck about what you think.
That's true. That's but I'm just saying, since you spend so much time advocating on character and integrity, I'm just saying, so every now and then can't just slip that just that partner that I'm if you don't, that you do have to have some decisions, you know, with what you do. If I go out and protest and I stand next to y'all and I say, you know, but I don't really be outside all the time. I'm just standing here. But if something happens and I get hurt while I'm out there protesting, I made a decision to kind of go out there. I can't just say, well, that was, because there's more consequences just getting caught. I'm just talking about in decision making.
But just think about it, Tess. You know why we have, you know why the average street person doesn't talk to a civilian? Because they don't see eye to eye at all. I can't argue integrity and code to a civilian. They think I'm losing my fucking mind.
And that's the key. That's the only part I'm saying is, the Y Street niggas don't talk to squares. But that's what I'm trying to say. If you're able to convince a square to do some criminal shit, they're not 100% square. That's all I'm saying.
That doesn't mean that they abandon their civilian code.
That's correct. But what I'm trying to say is, but that's all I'm trying to say. You did abandon it though. Once you start fucking with him, you abandon it. You just weak. You abandoning it though. That's what I'm trying to say.
They don't see it as weak.
But they don't have to see it. I'm just talking about me.
All day.
But I'm talking
a lady come on my page every day. Her husband was on my page talking about how he told on a nigga. And she mad at me. She said, oh, he had kids. He got caught with a brick. He came to my page. Like, you always talking about this. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? What do you mean? He like, yeah, you talking about, yeah, I got caught with a brick. You know, it wasn't mine, but I was in the street, but it wasn't mine. So I told, yeah, I got kids and all that.
Oh, I think I saw that.
I was sitting like, bro, you come on my page to justify telling. I don't even care that you told. Why are you coming to me? And his wife come on my page every day and argue with me down because the level of what I call integrity and what she calls integrity is two different
things. Yeah, that's true. I'm just talking about me and you.
Back and forth. And she don't care about being seen by the street niggas as a snitch.
Yeah, so I'm just talking about me. Well, I'm just talking about the real ones. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about...
That's what I mean. But it ain't. That's what I'm trying to say. Once you get involved with somebody that don't have the same ethics, morals, and moral compass as you, and they just are riding because they can see the gain in it, and they don't want to deal with the consequence, you won't always have that
right issue. And you should never be messing with it. All I'm saying is, once you agree to be a part of something that is illegal, technically, you're not 100% square. That's all I'm saying. Because real squares do square shit. They don't do that. They don't want to be a part of that.
The law plays on the fact that they know.
Exactly.
The square nigga is there. And I'm going to say, look, all you got to do is tell on him and you can just go back to your regular life. Because we know this ain't who you are.
Exactly.
And he going to say, yes, I let me just go back.
Yeah. Okay, sure. But that's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is they knew what they was doing. So we'll move on because I think we're going in circles. But that's also why when y'all say we want accomplices, that's why I always backtrack on my end and say I want soldiers. Because allies get to pick and choose. You know, it's an ally in my comment right now, my page right now, going back and forth, pretending to be an ally. One minute they're an ally, next minute they're not. An accomplice, that's the girlfriend that's holding the work. She drove him to the crime scene. But then when it gets tough, oh, well, I just drove him, so give me less time. But a soldier puts their fingers on the trigger. We put in the same amount of work. We see eye to eye. We are on the same path. We're risking it all and willing to accept the consequence. And I think in the movement, we need all three. Allies, accomplices, and soldiers.
Everybody serves a role.
Everybody do. So I think Killer Mike is the best with allies. I think y'all the best with accomplices, and I'm going to stick with the soldiers.
That's it.
I don't want this.
All right, Jimmy.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. real steaks, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So you whack academics. I don't even really do these type of interviews, but it is interesting to watch. What is the deal, the back and forth? Like, do you, when they say, my son, you shouldn't say time, and you've already explained why you do it and why it's so important that, you know, the culture is protected, and you always saying, you know, they can't win by default. What is it? I'm confused on the academics thing. I've been trying to like keep up with what's what, but what is that thing? And why, I guess, do you continue when they tell you, you know, my son, leave it alone. You're above that. Just kind of move on. What is that about? And why do you think it's so important to continue the conversation? And does it conflict with the social justice movement that you're trying to do? Do you see those things, you know, hurting each other or being conflicting messages?
Well, I personally don't. You know, some people might see it differently. I think one of my, you know, missions is to stop our kids from killing each other. You know, that's one. I'm feet boots on the ground in gun violence and stopping gun violence. Right. So when you have a culture and when you have hip hop, which is responsible for a lot of the trends in the culture in which these kids follow. So when you have someone like academics who is single-handedly promoting, advocating, and instigating real street beefs, like, He reports and gives commentary and gives opinions and suggests that people shoot other people and suggests that this gang is tougher than another person because and shows video or he was on your block. Y'all didn't do nothing. Y'all ain't really gangsta. When you have a platform like that where these kids listen to you, right, and you celebrate the violence, right, they know that if I shoot somebody and I put a video out, academics is going to play it. He gonna call me tough and I can get a record deal. Because if you look at Chicago right now, the main way that you get signed to a record deal is you have real beef, you make a song about it, and you do a video about it. That's why these kids is done.
They do that a lot in Chicago. What do they call it? Drill music. Okay.
That's the new formula to get signed, mm-hmm. right? Is people like academics, they find out there's real street beef, they make songs about it, they make videos going to grave sites, digging up people's dead homies, pissing on graves, talking about saying the names of the person that they killed in the records, and they get record deals for it. And this academics is one of the main sites that promotes the real beef. Wow. It promotes the individual.
And why don't they just stop you right there? Because see, that's different. That's way different. When he's saying you should go do this and that, he's never been held accountable, like from the people that he's talking about, like, hey, nigga, stay out of our business or what? Because I'm from a generation where you don't speak on that.
There's a lot of people who have.
Oh, they
have. A lot of people have been on shows with him and checked them. I remember Jeezy went up there. Vic Mensa went up there and checked him. Before God Bless the Dead, Nipsey walked out the interview because he was doing shit like that. You could go online and hear Nipsey talking about him and saying the shit he's doing is dangerous. That's why him and Meek don't get along, because Meek said the same shit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, boom, Young Vaughn just got killed. The dude that supposedly, quote unquote, was supposedly the person who they said was the shooter, made a song, and he came home. And Academics was like, oh, he's home. He's free. He out here looking too comfortable. Somebody need to get the sliding. He even got some rap skills now. Let me play the song. Oh, man, I don't know what y'all going to do. He out here. Look, this is verbatim what he's saying.
Wow.
And I'm like, and you're not a street dude. You're not even in the streets. I can understand it. I can even understand if you was really in the streets and that's a lifestyle. That's all you knew. So that's all you knew how to talk about. You are a nerd geek from somewhere else. You study acrodynamics. You don't have a street bone in your body.
He thinks it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Abuse against these kids. So that's personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I'm out here trying to stop these kids from killing each other. I'm trying to change the narrative. I'm trying to do the real big homie. Us real big homies is trying to take the guns out these kids' hands, mm-hmm. and you telling them they need to slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then you promoting them and they getting record deals. So how do I compete,
mm-hmm.
when you got these young kids in the hood, they trying to figure a way out. And the only way they can get a record deal is to have real beef and shoot at somebody so Academics could promote it and play the song. And now they got a record.
And who else is responsible for it? Like, do you think the people that's giving them a record deal? I mean, the people
it's a whole thing. But I can literally identify Academics, because the record deal, I don't know who is around and giving, because they definitely should be held accountable. But when you look, when you realize that you're being celebrated, the record label is going to take what the people want, right? So when you got a platform like Academics, where he got 4 and 5 million followers who listen to him, and he goes up there and he promotes beef all the time, and these young kids make songs just so they can play it on his site, just so they can get a record deal after he promotes the violence. That's why you look and see they dying, they getting locked up, because this is the formula that they take it. So I personalize that. I say, yo, shit like that, you can't do Academics. I started out like, yo, you just can't be doing that. I told with 6ix9ine, he was the main nigga following 6ix9ine around. Amp is 6ix9ine. 6ix9ine go to Chicago on O Block. He out there like, oh, 6ix9ine was out there. I ain't seen nobody pull up on him. He said, where y'all at? This is what he doing. So he was promoting real beef. And everybody, Charlamagne said, yo, Academics gonna get you killed, 6ix9ine.
Yeah. Like, and so why are you the only one? So this is what I ask. Like, every now and then, like you said, okay, Meek said something, Jesus said something. So they say like one thing, and then they move on. And you see your role is constantly, you know, making sure that people don't forget. Just like we talk about certain shit, killings and how people have been murdered by the police, and after people forget. So my thing is, when people with major platforms say one thing and then kind of go on and they don't continue, do they support, and I'm not talking about GZA in particular, but just in general, do they support you to get behind you to say, you know what? I'm not going to talk about, I don't talk about this every day. I done said what need to be said and I'm moving on, but I'm going to at least elevate your platform so that more people can come over to you, because I know you're going to stay on their ass. And the reason why I ask that, my son, is because I don't give a shit about, and people got this misunderstanding, oh, you doing it for the bag. You niggas is crazy. Stand up for Black people ain't the bag. I don't know what they're talking. The bag is going against Black people. I don't know what they're talking 100%. About. The bag will be me at Fox News talking about Black on Black crime and Black people need to get it together. And I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You can rap your ass off. I think I can hold a couple of bars, but not of my sign. But if I was interested in getting a bag or popularity, I could go 1,000 different routes. But my frustration is when people like myself or you or whoever, your platform is way bigger than mine. But I don't give a shit about the numbers, but it seems that if you know I'm out here putting in work and you know I'm doing what you're not going to do, and you know that I'm doing what you're going to do every 6 months or every 4 years or 2 years, why don't you help elevate my platform or your platform or the five of us that do this work every single fucking day so that we can penetrate some of these numbers too. Because like you said, the clowns, they winning by default. If nobody hears my voice, people say all the time, you need a bigger platform. I keep telling them, it's not the platform that's the problem. BNC is in 55 million homes. Fox News, the largest, got more viewers than MSNBC and CNN combined. iHeart is the largest audio platform in the world. It ain't the platforms, it's the people. They don't know I'm here. They don't know what I'm doing. You niggas don't never post my shit, put my stuff out and say, hey, let's look at the homegirl and what she doing. What do you think that is? Is it jealous? Is it envy? Is it because maybe we call out things that will make them look as if they're not doing the work? Like, what is that shit? I don't get it.
I think it's a combination of all the things. You know, some people are scared because you speak what they feel like they can't speak publicly, right? I get a lot of people that come say, yo, keep your feet on these niggas' necks. I love what you do. I represent, yo, you, I own you, the only person I listen to. I be telling my man, yo, you got to listen to him, such and such. And then there's a lot of people, but they won't utilize their platform to promote it. They won't invest no money into it. They won't do shit to make it get bigger, but they support you silently because they're scared to really be attached to it. And then there's people that are just jealous because you have more heart than they have. Because you're going to say the shit that they don't say. So they mad that they don't have the heart to say that you say. And then there's just people that just don't really give a fuck. Because it doesn't affect their bottom line. They know you right, but it's not affecting their bottom line. They can't see how they can benefit off you. They can't see how they going to make some money off you. So it's not in their best interest in their mind to promote what it is you do. So what it is that I've always done is I've always gone against the grain. I've always stood on my own. I don't need y'all niggas to co-sign me. I never needed y'all to co-sign me. I've been me before I met y'all. Mm-hmm. And that's how my platform continues to grow. And that's how yours continue to grow. Everybody start listening. They be like, yo, Tez be saying some real shit. You can't deny it. You know what I'm saying? So we are needed in this culture. We always going to be pretty much the underdogs and the underground people that the overground people celebrate and look at and follow in amazement. And celebrate you privately and hug you in private, but they never going to do it in person. They never going to do it publicly. So we just have to accept who it is that we are until God sees fit that he gives us the major platform that we're supposed to have and just keep doing what we do. But I know these niggas ain't going to help me.
Right.
They never helped me. I came out of jail. I was one of the best rappers. Before I went to jail, I was one of the best rappers in the world.
Yeah.
I was slated to be signed before 50 Cent Oldham. I was the top nigga that they signed that year. So when I came home, a nigga didn't do nothing to me. They never gave me nothing. Nobody said, yo, we're going to give Mice this. We're going to do this. We're going to give them an opportunity. Nobody gave me nothing. I had to start from ground zero again. So I understand that. I understand that what it is that I represent most you niggas fear. Because I represent a man that's confident, a man that's an alpha male. I don't have no problem being strong, speaking my mind. I'm not going to lessen myself so that you feel comfortable around me. All of these things I understand. I present a problem to the average person.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to deal with that. And that's why the trolls is in my comment. Because they like, why this nigga so confident? Why this nigga don't go away? Why can't we hurt him? Why can't none of this shit don't penetrate his skin? Why he keep going? Because he don't give a fuck about what you think about him.
That's right.
He don't care.
And it mind boggles them.
Yeah.
That's what somebody was telling me today. You know, I wouldn't waste my energy doing it. See, I ain't you though. And you had this conversation all the time. I ain't you and you ain't me. If I waited on what you do, I wouldn't do none of this shit. And secondly, this shit comes actually quite easy to me because these words flow off my tongue like honey. So that's number two. Number three, I'm doing it more for the people that are watching me than I am them. I'm using you niggas as crash dummies. Y'all crash dummies. I just get to use you as an opportunity to say, see, this is what I'm talking about. And then I make a video off of that to know, you know, to be able to show this is the example. It's not for them. It's for those that I fight
but
for.
You know what it is,
so they can see somebody fighting for them.
What's so dope is everybody is mad at niggas in their comments, right?
Right.
Everybody read comments. Yo, these niggas. And they say it to themselves. Yo, these fucking niggas be in comments talking crazy. Y'all would never say this. They say it in their mind. So when you come and you do a whole commentary about this, it's for the clown in the comments that said, like, everybody is laughing. And they need that because they're like, I want to say the same shit.
Right.
I want to be able to do that. So all of us have a different role. My role ain't your role. You're not going to understand what I do. I might not understand what you do. I might think, oh, she might need to do that. You might think, but the bottom line is we are who we are. And we got here.
That's
and we know each other because we are who we are and we individuals. And we just got to all play our role and do what we're supposed to do.
That's right. Outside and inside work. One thing for sure I love is a small group of us. And I really just believe it's a small group. It's a lot of folks that say that they do what they do, but you don't, no disrespect to them. They come around every 2 years, every 4 years, whatever, but it's a very small group of folks that really are taking chances to make sure that this type of good content is out there, whether they agree with it or not. I tell people all the time, you don't have to like people I fuck with. I don't give a shit. This ain't fourth grade. They may not like everything you do, or Tamika do, or Charlamagne do, or Ben Crump do, or whoever do, but the bottom line is we need outside and inside people. And if people just play their role, and if we could just respect and coordinate, because like you said, this ain't for everybody. This ain't, we ain't trying to get everybody. I don't want you niggas over here for me. I want to be with the ones that's about what they're doing. And I appreciate the love and the movement, those of us that do recognize our gifts and talents, to be able to say, listen, it's not that I can't give a good speech. We all can give good speeches. It's not that you're the only one that can say something. I'm the only one that can do political commentary, or the only one. Tamika can get on TV every day if she wants to. She got the access, the resource. She know the talk game. She do whatever. She stays in her lane. I stay in my lane. You're doing your lane. And sometimes we come together and we all show. I love when we were all in Kentucky, by the way, because it shows such a diverse, so many diverse people from every side, you know, being able to contribute what they have to the game. And that's what it's about. And if you really love Black people, then you would understand who I can't touch, my son can touch. Who my son can't touch, Tamika will touch. Who Tamika can't touch, Linda will touch. Who Ben can't touch, somebody else will touch. Lee Merritt will touch. Whoever, whatever. If you're about the love for Black people. So I wanted to thank you for coming by and getting a little bit into that drama. And I still think we disagree, but we'll talk about it another time.
We disagree. We just disagree.
And we agree. And just so we're clear, we disagree on the consequence part, right? I don't think we really disagree, because I think there's a consequence. Yeah,
that's the only thing we disagree. I definitely agree that they know what they're doing.
And they should make a decision.
And they should be held accountable. Only thing I think is you can't really hold somebody accountable that don't give a fuck about what the consequences that you're trying to hold to.
Oh, well, we agree with that.
That's the only
thing. Well, I can't hold them accountable. I just want to make sure they know that they're weak. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but the thing is, when somebody knows they're weak and they don't care that you think they're weak, and they don't care if nobody think they're weak because they've already accepted I'm weak, it's not really a consequence.
Well, it's probably the person that allowed them to do it in the first place is the weak one, because they weren't thinking about their moves, but whatever. But just assert that every now and then. I know you love talking about as a man, it's one of your favorite lines. And I always, that's all I ever been as a woman. I always tell people, I don't know if it's about gender. I think it's just about character and integrity. And I just want the sisters to know that listen to you. Don't think just because you're saying as a man that they don't have responsibility as a woman. But that's where my role come in. There's some things that I can talk about that you can't talk about, and vice versa. I've never tried to be a man. Don't want to be a man. I don't identify as a man. I was born with female anatomy. I am a female. I identify as a female. So that's all I know. So we just going to keep pushing our line. And thank you so much, brother, for coming by my side. The general, this was a great conversation. It's supposed to be 30 minutes, but we went back and forth. If you want to listen to my side go back and forth, well, my sister Tamika, which they do. I think y'all do that all the time. Do y'all ever agree on anything? Sometimes y'all agree.
Sometimes. Very rarely.
But most times it sounds just like this. Because my son is literally going to keep repeating the same thing over and over. He stands on what he believes. And we stand on what we believe. And it is what it is. So
that's why I love you.
That's why I love you too.
I wouldn't have it no other way.
Wouldn't have it no other way, homie. I'll see you outside as usual. But thank you guys for listening. Make sure you listen to my son on Street Politicians right here on the Black Effect Podcast Network with our homie Charlamagne Tha God that made this all possible. Follow him on Instagram. Trolls, friends, enemies, accomplices, allies, it don't matter. We need them all. We need the followers to go up. Without you, we would be nothing. Right. So we appreciate it. Thank you so much. My son, the general, as a soldier, I'm going to salute you.
If you like what you heard on Straight Shot No Chaser, please subscribe and drop a 5-star review and tell a friend. Straight Shot No Chaser is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. I'm Teslin Figueroa, and I'd like to thank our producer, editor, mixer, the one and only Marcy DePina, our mix master, Dwayne Crawford, and our executive producer, Charlamagne Tha God. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears.
real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.